This is the Navigating Adult ADHD podcast, here to help you navigate and thrive with ADHD in adulthood. I'm your host, Zena, and I was diagnosed at age 36. As with many ADHDers, I have a rebellious and nonconformist style. And that means that there will likely be swearing in the coming episode. Please be mindful of any little people. Hello, my name is Zena, and I am a recovering perfectionist. That's what we're going to be talking about today, my friends, ADHD and perfectionism. Now, before we dive into that, I just want to remind you that if you head over to my website, zenajones.com, and click on the Start Here button, you can download your free guide where I run through 12 things that I wished my doctor had told me about ADHD. 12 things that I think we need to know as ADHDers and things that are really important for us to learn and understand, especially earlier in our journey, if possible. All right, my friends, let's talk about perfectionism. Have you ever seen one of those videos where an animal has been taken into another animal's family? So I just scrolled on Instagram before I did this, and I saw this video that I believe Mel Robbins has shared. I like her account. And it was of a duck. So a mother duck that had all of its baby ducklings there, and a little baby chicken who had been disowned from its family or whatever happened, right? This mother duck adopted the chicken. So basically the chicken grew up with all of these baby ducklings, and it was literally swimming on a pond with them. It was the cutest thing ever. Anyway, right, you know what I mean. So you've probably seen one of these somewhere before on social media or heard of it happening. Maybe it's happened in your life. That'd be super cool. So in this example, we are the chicken, okay? We grew up surrounded by neurotypical people, people that for the most part looked and acted like us. So we would, just thought that we were meant to be just like them, floating on the pond, just like they are. Now, perfectionism is one of the ways that we have learned to mask our ADHD and try to fit in, to measure up to the impossible standards. We try to be perfect in order to avoid judgment, criticism, or rejection. Many of us, we try to perfect our houses, our jobs, our clothes, our weight, our exercise routines, our entire lives. And it's coming from this idea that if I do perfect, if I be perfect, if I become perfect, I will reduce judgment, I will reduce blame, I will reduce criticism. And for me, it was also driven by this idea that if I could just be like everyone else, then I would be happy. And here's what I discovered. You cannot be perfect and authentic at the same time. And for me and many of my fellow neurodivergent humans, we value authenticity, integrity, and freedom. And those values are in direct conflict with perfectionism. Perfection is poison. It is harmful. It is not helpful. We're going to really dive into that today. And it's not the same as striving for excellence. Perfectionism says, I want to know the rules so that I can be better than them, not so that I can break them. And here's the trouble with this, my ADHD friend. We as ADHDers, we are rule breakers, we are artists, we are the entrepreneurs, we are the healers, the teachers, the creators, the multi-passionate humans who change the world, who change, those around us by not following these rules. And the truth is that there is nobody in the world who has a perfect life and does everything perfectly. But a perfectionist thinking, our perfectionist thinking, tells us that there is, that these people are perfect, that these people have a perfect life, that this, you know, it creates this idea, this perfectionist fantasy in our head of what we should look like and measure up to. And because we don't have that and we're not doing it, we are therefore lacking because we're not living up to that impossible standard. So how do you know if you are a perfectionist? If you constantly think about what's wrong with you and your life, thinking that things could always be better, thinking that you should be better, it's this constant state and obsession with self-improvement. It's the idea that I have to prove myself because I'm unworthy the way I am. I'm not okay this way. I need to be better. It is constantly thinking your work isn't good enough, or your assignments that you're handing in are not good enough, or that you are not a good enough friend or a good enough partner in your relationship. We often do it with our bodies. This was me, thinking I should be thinner, I should be fitter, I should have nicer skin, I should have less wrinkles. We do it at home, thinking our homes should look better, they should be cleaner, they should be tidier, they should, you know, have improvements and renovations done, that we should paint the fence and we should have beautiful flowers and all these things. And often it also reflects on how we look at others, how we judge them and critique them and criticize them. Thinking like, my partner should be doing more. They should be doing more around the house. They should be helping. Perfectionism causes a lot of stress and anxiety in our lives. It's the belief that you should be better and you could be better. And it's so ingrained in most of us that we don't even pause to question it. And perfectionism produces a lot of procrastination. When you think that what you're doing isn't good enough, or that people might not be happy with it, or that it's impossible to achieve, you are going to avoid it. Of course. You're going to avoid it as long as you can, or avoid it entirely. It produces exhaustion and a lot of overwhelm. So perfectionism often looks like setting extreme goals. You know those New Year's Eve resolutions that you set that might look like, I must exercise 7 days a week and eat healthy every single day, and I need to lose 20 kgs, and, you know, yada, yada, yada. When we don't stick to that perfect routine, we then torture ourselves. We beat ourselves up. It's exhausting. It is overwhelming. We set these impossible perfect standards for ourselves over and over and over again. And perfectionists often judge others because we're always judging ourselves. We're so self-critical. If you judge yourself all the time, you're also judging others. Ask me how I know that. It's this idea that things could be better, but I'm never going to get there. That's what perfectionism is. It's depressing because we always think that things should be better and that they could be better. But at the same time, there's this like resigned part of us that's like, yeah, but I'm never going to get there. I'm never going to be able to achieve that. What's the point? That's depressing. As perfectionists, we're often quite controlling. We try to control ourselves, and we also sometimes try to control others. I have seen this in my life. Even when I developed an eating disorder, I was really trying to control, you know, my body, trying to control my weight, trying to control my eating, and yet I was so out of control at the same time. As perfectionists, we're often focused on external appearances. So looking at others and going, wow, they have such a beautiful home and look at that beautiful Range Rover that they drive. They must make lots and lots of money. Therefore, they have a better life than me. They are happier. And then that perfectionism, it fuels jealousy and envy. That is something that I used to experience so much in my life. Simply just walking along the street, looking at other people, making assumptions about them and their lives, and I would experience so much jealousy and envy. Perfectionism is rooted in shame. Perfectionism says we are unworthy and we want to hide our imperfections from other people, so we try to control and manage how other people see us. Now, we cannot talk about perfectionism without talking about the work of Brené Brown, one of my favorite teachers. So Brené Brown is a very well-known researcher and author. She is a TEDx speaker, and she has explored extensively topics related to vulnerability, shame, empathy, and perfectionism. And her book, The Gifts of Imperfection, is one of my all-time favorite books. It was a life changer for me. She's also got an incredible book called Daring Greatly. Both of those kind of dive into this topic that we have today around perfectionism. Also her TED Talks, so The Power of Vulnerability and Listening to Shame, they are really insightful in this regard, in regards to perfectionism. So I want to share a couple of the things that I have learned from Brené Brown with you all. Perfectionism is not about striving for excellence or healthy achievement, but it is about self-destructive belief systems that fuel a primary thought. If I look perfect, live perfect, and do everything perfectly, I can avoid or minimize the painful feelings of shame, judgment, and blame. Shame-driven. Perfectionism is often driven by a fear of being perceived as flawed, leading to a constant effort to avoid feelings of shame. Micromanaging. Perfectionists often micromanage every aspect of their lives in an attempt to maintain control and prevent mistakes. Perfectionists are susceptible to intense shame and guilt when they inevitably, of course, fall short of their unrealistic standards. And the fear of failure can be paralyzing, preventing individuals from taking risks or pursuing their goals. Now, there is another book that I absolutely love on this topic, and that is called, and it has inspired the title of our episode today, it is called Feck Perfection, and that is by James Victor. And this book itself, so I started listening to it on audio, and I thought, this book is so fucking good that I'm going to actually order a copy so I can go through and highlight portions and just have it as a resource to refer to. And when the book arrived, I was blown away by how imperfect it is. The font varies from page to page. Where the font is positioned on the page varies from place to place. It challenges the whole idea of what a book is supposed to be published like and look like. It is a work of art in itself because it is so unique and imperfect. It has really embraced the Feck Perfection title. I absolutely love it. Highly recommend. So I wanted to share a couple of his quotes with you. Perfection is a head game that we play with ourselves. No one outside of our heads really cares about the nitpicky details we stress over. It works like this. Set unobtainable goals, then you don't achieve them, then you drive yourself into depression. On the surface, perfectionism seems like it would be a professional advantage, a creative accelerator. But really, as a driver, it hits the brakes more often than it hits the gas. Perfectionism stops you from starting projects, or even relationships, because it tells you that you are not ready. Ooh, so good. All right, so you're a perfectionist. Now what? Good question. So perfectionism is your brain trying to keep you safe. It is telling you if you're perfect, you won't get rejected or criticized. Now we know for those of us with ADHD, we are prone to experiencing RSD, rejection sensitivity dysphoria, meaning that experiencing rejection or criticism, and even the idea that we potentially could be, that can be very difficult for us when we don't know how to manage that and feel our emotions and reframe our negative and unhelpful thoughts. Okay, so that is something that already is tough for us. So sometimes we might lean towards perfection as a way to try and keep safe. Okay, it's just our brain trying to keep us safe. But the irony here is that by trying to be perfect, you are in fact rejecting and criticizing yourself. You are saying, how I am is not okay. It is not enough. Therefore, you are rejecting yourself. You are criticizing yourself. Can you see that? Because that's really powerful to see and understand. Okay? By trying to be perfect, it's our brain's way of telling us, hey, if you can just be perfect, you'll avoid rejection and criticism for the rest of your life. But in actual fact, by chasing this unobtainable perfection, we're only rejecting and criticizing ourselves. Ouch. So, number one, accept that no one and nothing is perfect. Perfectionism is the lie that if you just get good enough, if you just improve yourself enough, then your brain will stop being an asshole. It'll stop saying mean things to you. It'll leave you alone. My friend, that is not true. Our brains will always use self-critical tactics. That is part of the human experience. That is why I do the work I do in the world, where I teach people how to manage their brains and their minds and their emotions. Okay? Our brains will use self-critical tactics. It's part of being human. There is no, one of my colleagues, Cara Lowenthal, she says this and I love it. She says, there is no off-ramp to the human experience. Meaning, you will have bad days. You will, you know, not feel great all the time. You will experience negative emotions. Your brain will be critical to yourself. This is all part of being human. We don't escape that. We learn to work with it instead of fighting it. All right, number two is embrace imperfection. Think about this with me. Who or what do you love simply for existing? Maybe it's your kids. For me, it is my cats. I am obsessed with my cats. Now, my cats can be total assholes. Sometimes they will bring in a bird and it will get loose, and that means feathers get everywhere and bird shit gets everywhere, and it's a hell of a mess to clean up. Sometimes my cats vomit on the floor. The other night, one of them woke us up in the middle of the night where they start making that I'm about to hurl sound. If you know it, you know it. And the cat was on the bed. It started making that sound. And like, I'm trying to wake up and establish what the fuck's going on. And all of a sudden I leap out of bed, I grab the cat, and I'm trying to get it to the tile floor in the bathroom so that it can vomit on the bathroom. And of course, I did not get it there quick enough. And it just kind of projectile vomited all over the floor. I probably made it worse. I mean, at least it wasn't on the bed, but then it was still on the carpet. Just today, actually, I was coming back from a walk and one of my cats, I'd seen it in the distance run across the road. It had crossed the road and gone to the neighbors. And I thought, you little shit. And as we got closer, it obviously heard me turning up and it decided to cross the road in front of cars. So I'm like all of a sudden like leaping out into the road trying to stop the traffic so my cat can cross the road and come back home. If anybody knows how to teach a cat not to do that shit, like let me know. Sometimes my cats ignore me. That just pisses me off. They're a cat, of course they do. But the point I'm making here is, are my cats perfect? No. Hell no. If they were, they would definitely come when I call them. But I love them unconditionally. I love them with their flaws, with their imperfections. Okay? So who or what do you love simply for existing? I want to give you another example of this. When I go around to a friend's house and it is lived in, meaning that there might be washing hanging on a rack in the lounge or coffee cups in the sink or, you know, food on the breadboard and crumbs scattered and, you know, books lying around. When I see that, I feel comfortable. I'll give you an example. I stayed with my friend Becca. She's been on the podcast before. We did the self-compassion episode. When I flew to the States and I stayed with her in Boulder, Colorado. And I, you know, first time going to her home and she had artwork and she had her art stuff out. And, you know, we were sitting in her lounge and there were books. And like it was just such a beautiful, homely home. And she said to me, oh, you know, sorry, I probably should have tidied up more or done more. And I was like, no. You know what I love about this is how comfortable I feel in your home because it's lived in. It is a lived in comfortable home and I just feel like I can relax and be myself. Versus I have this one friend who I remember visiting a while back and her house was immaculate. As in not a hair out of place. Like, I don't know how many hours she spends cleaning it, but I don't know how you would get it to that standard. Like, the bench was immaculate. The fridge was, like, brand new looking immaculate because I went in to get some milk or something. It was ridiculous how immaculate and staged looking this house was. Like, I felt uncomfortable. That's how immaculate it was. I felt uncomfortable in that house. Why? Because to me, a lived-in house is authentic. I love the imperfectness of it. I relate to it. It feels real to me. I had actually coached a client on this a little while back, and she had somebody who was going to come and stay in her home, and they were going to help this person as he was going through some stuff. And she was really uncomfortable about it because she said, I won't be able to keep my house tidy all of the time. I won't be able to keep on top of it. And I said, why do you need to? And we went through this exact, you know, thing that I've just talked to you about. And I coached her around it. And I said, like, how do you feel when you walk into that immaculate house versus when you walk into a lived-in house? Like, if you want this person to be comfortable, what environment do you think they're going to feel more comfortable in? Right? It's always going to be the lived-in environment. And yet, for some reason, we think we need this immaculate. No. Right? Who or what do you love simply for existing? And is it possible that other people love you and love your work and love your home and the spaces that you have simply for existing, imperfections and flaws and all? I want to leave you with some of my favorite thoughts on perfectionism. Imperfection is what sets me apart. It's my edge. I truly believe that. I now embrace it. When I send emails, I used to be a person who would read over and over and over an email before I sent it. And now I read it once and I send it. That's just what I do. I'm like, if there's a spelling mistake I missed, cool. Like, it's meant to be in there. I'm normalizing the fact that I make mistakes and that's okay. I'm not perfect. I'm actually not great at spelling. That's okay. Like, I'm normalizing that. And I'm good with that. Imperfection is what sets me apart. It's my edge. If I tried to perfect these podcasts, you would not be listening. There would not be a fucking podcast. Imperfection sets me apart. Another one of my favorite thoughts. I choose authenticity over perfection every single time. That's a big one for me. Another one that has been very useful. Done is better than perfect. Perfect never gets done, whereas done is better than perfect. That is how I approach every single podcast, every single email I send, every piece of work I put out in the world. Done is better than perfect. Another one I have that I love is perfect is boring. I really think that. Perfect is boring. Like if we think about the wonders of the world, if we think about like artwork, it is the unique, different things out in the world that are interesting and exciting and attractive to us. Not because they're perfect, but because they're imperfect, they're different, they're unique. Perfect is boring. And my last one here on this list is I love others for their imperfections. And if I love others for their imperfections, they probably love me for mine. And I can love me for mine. Ugh, perfectionism. All right, this is one of my favorite things to coach on and talk about. It really is. If you want my help with embracing your imperfections and learning how to work with your ADHD brain rather than fighting against it, then head over to my website, zenajones.com/coaching. All right, my friend, have a beautiful week. Huge, huge love to you. I'll see you soon. Hey, friend. I know exactly what it's like to feel frustrated and confused with your ADHD and to wish that you could better understand what the hell is going on in your brain. And that's exactly why I created my coaching program, Thriving with ADHD. Inside Thriving with ADHD, you learn a step-by-step process to set and finally achieve your goals, to understand yourself and your ADHD. It's where you learn to feel better and manage your emotions and create systems and processes that work for you with your ADHD brain. This is designed for you to learn how to thrive with ADHD so you can create the life that you were meant to live. Visit zenajones.com/ADHD to learn more and book a consultation.